Hi, welcome again. We're Pulling on Heaven. This is our podcast, Pulling on Heaven 24/7. It's who we are. It's what we do. And although we haven't really been specifically saying Pulling on Heaven a lot during the last couple podcasts, we're still pulling on heaven.
We sure are.
It's related to our relationship to the kingdom of God. It's not just about grabbing a rope or trying to pull something down, but it certainly isn't effective in pulling down what God told us to. He said, whatever we release from the earth is released in heaven. And it also says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning. So glad to have Steve with me here. Again, so thankful to Jonathan Ayala for allowing us to use his facility here. And it's really, really a cool setup. And so appreciate Jonathan's heart and opening the door, not only of his studio, but of his heart to do what we're doing today. Our podcast, Pulling on Heaven, and I have the amazing Steve Blenn here today. And we're just going to kind of, I think, just shoot off from where we left off, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we've been having such an amazing conversations. I mean, I don't know if anyone else thinks so. Hopefully you're back because you do. But I mean, we'd be sitting here doing this even if the cameras weren't rolling.
We've done it a few times, right? We've done it, probably the breeding ground for what we're doing today.
What one of the things I love most about you is you have such a great way of looking at things that most people don't look at them.
I promise you, I have to say this. I am not telling him to say any of these things.
He is not.
I'm sitting here going, am I that nice a guy? I love it. One of the things, the communication and the dialogue and all that, but I just like sitting here going, somebody's talking nice about me.
That's right. I could literally do this for hours and hours and hours because, as I've said ad nauseum, you have so impacted my life, my family's life, and changed us, and so helped cement us and glue us into who God is and His purposes in our lives, and our purposes in His. And so it's always an honor to be here with you.
Oh, thank you.
And you just always have such a unique perspective in looking at things that so many of us, I think, look at over and over and over again in the Word. And you really helped me to see the Word the way it really is. And it's really interesting because my own filmmaking background, I like to look at scripts or I like to look at literature and pull out things and find the symbolism. And I remember English class people used to be like, oh, I was like the teacher's pet nerd. And I would just go down the road of all this kind of stuff. And people say, like, how do you see that stuff? Or is that really there? Do you care? And whether the author intended or not, I like to find stuff. But you really helped me to look at that and to look at the Bible in that way. And especially, I think, you know, everybody knows about Adam and Eve. And that's, you know, a foundational story that we go back to the earliest days of Sunday school, of the story of Adam and Eve in the garden and the serpent, and Adam naming all the animals and all that fun stuff. And it, you know, we a lot of times, you know, even if we believe it's real, some people don't believe it's real, but even if we believe it's real, it becomes this pat story. But you look at it in a much different way and you find the truth. And I remember you talking, you know, you talk about this quite a bit, but you were recently again, the idea of Adam naming the animals is just your perspective on that is so fascinating to me because it's something that's so easy to gloss over and some point that, yeah, okay, God gave Adam dominion of the earth and he told him to name the animals, so here they are, and we gloss it over, and that of course that's a lion, that's a giraffe, of course that's what they are because that's what we know them to be. But you've got a very different take and a very different perspective on the point and purpose of why God had Adam do that.
Well, I do, because you were talking about hearing, you know, you hear me say things that really impact you. So, and this is very connected to what we're about to talk about. It's because you're hungry. Mm. You're hungry. The Word says, let those that have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So someone could be sitting right next to you, maybe listen to something I would say and be yawning and couldn't, you know, looking at his watch and get up and walk away. So it's really the hunger. It's people that are hungry and they hear the Spirit of the Lord. And God can speak through everybody and anybody.
Amen.
That has a heart of willingness to speak and a heart and an ear of willingness to hear. So that was Adam and Eve. You know, God created us to listen, to hear, be still and know that I'm God. And the reason and what the reasoning I see, and it's more than the reasoning, but the insight that I glean from Adam and Eve in the garden, naming the animals, is really a prophetic inclination or, you know, a prophetic seam in the tapestry of all the scriptures. And what I mean by that is that God has woven us together in his nature. He created us in him, through him, and to him, the word tells us. And when he told Adam to name the animals, what he wanted Adam to know is that you can hear me. You can hear God. Mm. You can hear my voice. Not only can you hear me, but you can communicate my heart. You can know what I know. You can see what I see. Because God said that he would show us inscrutable things, which means things you couldn't fathom, things you wouldn't even think about. And God reveals those things. And what he wanted Adam and Eve to know is that you have my heart. Not only do you have my heart because I love you, but you have my heart, you have my spirit. I want you to carry my voice. I want to share who I am. Again, God is love, and love loves to share. But when God told Adam, he said, number one, God said, let them have, meaning Adam and Eve, mankind, you and I, let them have dominion over all the earth. And one of the first demonstrations we see, and how do we have dominion over the earth? By hearing the word that created the earth, the word of God. So God says to Adam, he said, name the animals, okay? And imagine you're standing there, literally naked, naked of personal ambition, naked of self concern or self seeking. It's not self absorbed. There's no condemnation. There's no shame. You feel clothed in the glory and the word of God. But you have the world before you, and God says, "All the creatures that I've named, or all the creatures that I've created, name them." I mean, I could see anyone going, that seems like a really laborious job right here. And not only that, but impossible. How could I possibly know all these, the names? How could I name them? And typically, a lot of times people think of Adam, well, you know, Adam just gave him names. Like he just said, well, I think the name giraffe sounds pretty good. What do you think, Eve? Giraffe? You like giraffe? That wasn't the way it was at all. And if you look at the scriptures, you see what actually happened is the word says that God brought the animals to Adam to see what he would call them, okay, to see what he would call them. Not like, let's see if you figure it out, but to see if Adam would hear the voice of God. And we know that God knew what the animals were because he created them. Adam didn't just come up with a name out of the blue and say, you know, giraffe or a lion or a zebra. The word says whatever Adam called it, that was the name of the animal. God had already named him because it's in the nature of God to know all things, and in God's nature is fullness. So the animals were named just like Adam and Eve were named. They were named. But what God was saying is, Adam, tell me what this is. I want you to know you can hear my voice. God wants us to know the same thing today. He wants us to know that we can hear his voice, that we can give a name, the correct name, the proper name to anything that's going on in our lives, whatever is taking place, not trouble. We realize we came from God for his purpose, for his pleasure. Everything in your life means something by the purpose of God. No weapon formed against you will prosper. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning. Herein is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And on and on and on. Bottom line is God saying, I want to share my nature, who I am. I want you to know you can hear my voice. I want you to know you can prophesy. I want you to know that you can foretell the future of your own life, the life of your family. You can hear my voice, and whatever we say by the Spirit of God, it will come to pass. Why? Because of the word of the Lord is sure, and the word of the Lord is yes, and in him, amen. That's why God wanted him to name the animals. He wanted Adam to know he could hear the voice of God, and he would be accurate in what he said. Trust, confidence. God speaks to me. God speaks through me. God does the same thing with us today.
Which makes it even crazier when you think about it that after that, Adam and Eve would actually succumb to what the serpent was asking of them. You know, if you eat of this, then you'll be like God. You'll have this knowledge. You'll have this thinking and understanding, because God didn't even set them up without having walked them through it. They got walked through the fact that whatever you called them, that was its name. So Adam knew that he was thinking like God. Adam, Eve knew that they were thinking like God. So when the serpent, in some ways, it feels like it should have been a slam dunk. Like God was setting up, now here's your first job of taking dominion with the serpent right here, who God made, as you always like to point out, that, you know, here's an easy one, and they blow it.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing, and it's not credited to humanity. It's credited to doubt. How often we can see God do something, and then the next event, because it's different,
yes.
We doubt that maybe God's there, because the word says she saw. And I say this all the time, watch that dollar and a half worth of chemistry that drives our emotions doesn't drive your life and drive your wealth away, your wealth of influence, your wealth of insight, your wealth of knowledge. And the word says that Eve saw the tree, and she knew the word of God because she quoted it. She said, God has said, we shall not eat the tree. And people always focus on the serpent and what he said, and this was this and this was that, you know. But I've said this before, the tree was a gift to them. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was a gift to them, because as long as they obeyed, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was as big a blessing to them as the tree of life. Because as long, God said, I'm putting this here, and as long as you trust me how, that you have sufficiency of all things. And you lack nothing when you keep my word, because I am the fullness of everything you'll ever want and beyond your imagination. If we keep that idea, that mentality, that belief, we just keep that faith. And it's not hard to do, unless you keep telling yourself it's so hard to do and you believe your own lie. But if you don't, you believe the word of God. If she had not felt that she lacked anything, she would never succumb to the serpent. What she was supposed to tell the serpent was what God told him. Take dominion. Make it bow down and worship me. Give it my word. Tell it God has said, like you did, and then say, worship God. What a changed world for them it would have been. But again, all things work together for good. God had an incredible plan that we're still walking through in all its wonder and glory today. But it really is about knowing and not doubting. God is leading me. I have nothing to fear, and I don't lack anything. I may not see everything, but God's word is in my mouth. And prophesy your future. You know, some people are really into the prophetic, and other people just think you're just out of your mind.
Right.
You know, number one, it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't happen. And I say all the time, you got to me too late. I've watched the prophetic word unfold more times than I could possibly count, not only in my own life, but in a lot of other people's lives.
My life.
And it doesn't look like it sometimes. It doesn't look like it. But the point is, God wants us to know that we can hear his voice and that we don't lack anything. Let God unfold it the way he wants to, and don't doubt it because it doesn't happen the way you want it to. A lot of times I say this, people, they're not seeking God's will for their life. They're seeking God's approval on their will for their life. And if we would do the same thing, God has said, there isn't anything I lack. I'm not going to get fulfilled through anything but making Christ the center of my life and knowing and not diverting from this one thing. God is leading me in the way I'm supposed to go. And it's not going to turn out all right. It's going to turn out incredible because God's so good.
So then it seems like part of the task of taking dominion is identifying what God's intentions are in the earth.
And how could you possibly know that?
Yeah.
How could we know what his intentions are?
Well, because we can be one with him, and we can prophesy that, and we can speak that. And so today, as we go through our lives and things happen in our lives, you know, how many times when we give credit to an enemy or to someone trying to sabotage us or whatever, how much, and we have an opportunity, I think, to be like Adam, because Christ is the second Adam. So we're supposed to tell the world what it is.
Get to do it again.
In the identity of who God created that to be. And I feel like in a lot of ways, you know, we've, as a church, we've kind of fallen short of that, you know, and how much different might the world look if we called things by what they really were instead of we're tangled up in all this mess that we tend to be tangled up in.
It would look a lot different. It would look, your world, my world would look a lot different because the world we live in is the world we see, that we see, not the world everyone describes, unless you believe what they say. I mean, we live in a world of a huge identity crisis today. But I have to ask myself a question and kind of point finger at us, at the church, and say, do we know our identity? We're supposed to carry the good news, the gospel. We're supposed to preach the salvation and the transformation of the world from what it's fallen into because of disobedience and unbelief and sin, and be redeemed into what God intended it to be. But if our identity is lost, who's going to tell anybody? The word says if the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. So if we're saying we have the answer, but we don't believe that we do. And what I mean by that is we think, you know, we're just under attack. The church, the church just believes it's under attack. And every time something goes upside down in the world, as it were, we just scream at the enemy and at the dark, and we try to overcome it that way. And it's just the wrong objective. It's the wrong approach to the whole matter. The power is, if you are so secure in your identity, I belong to Christ. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And stay there. Don't take it back. And my steps are ordered of the Lord, and I am blessed and highly favored of God. But stay there. And things, I say this all the time, people's lives feel like they get turned upside down, and then they doubt, and they, what did I do wrong? What's the problem? The devil's after me. But what if your life was already upside down and God simply turned it right side up It felt upside down for a minute? But if you'll stay the course and just say, God is leading me, God is guiding me, you'll begin to prophesy the truth. You'll know the truth. You'll identify with the truth. You'll begin to see the truth, and you'll see the hand of God working in everything, and you won't feel so attacked. You won't feel like the world is collapsing on you. And if we can gain our identity, are we redeemed and free or are we not? Yeah. Is it works so we can boast, or is it not works? And if it's not works, then we have to identify ourselves with who He is. He did it all. I have nothing to do but believe Him, praise Him, declare Him, know that only good is going to happen to me. My steps are ordered of Almighty, omnipresent God, and there is no devil involved in my life. If we will take on our identity of being free from a loss of identity, then we can impact the world with a true identity. And people say the world's lost. Well, the system of the world is lost because they've lost their identity.
Yeah.
And if you don't know who you are, you don't know what belongs to you. And that's kind of where we are today. And unfortunately, largely the church is responsible for that because we chase the wrong spirits. We look for the wrong things. We identify with people under attack and in trouble and provoked, instead of being provoked by the anointing of God, instead of being blessed and chosen of God. And God blessed Adam and Eve, but the minute you think you're missing something, the minute you think you don't have, I mean, the serpent said, you'll be like God. What if she said, I am like God? And not giving self-credit.
No.
We're identifying, He made me. He's God. He's
made
Lord
me like
of all.
He made me in His image.
He made me in His image. Who made me? God did. What a different world if she just believed as she was. He already made me in His image and His likeness. I don't need this. What makes me confirms that I am in His image is that I don't believe what you're saying, because you're contradicting what God said to me. Bow down and worship God. Take dominion. We're blessed. We're really a blessed generation. We're a blessed people. God created man, and He blessed mankind. We're blessed, really blessed. Don't take it back.
Yeah. And I look at the people, look at the world, and I think so much of this putting that blame on Satan and saying there's this enemy against us just filters into even our ability to do what Jesus wanted us to do, which is to love people. Yeah. And because if someone is caught up in sin, There's all kinds of reasons, because we were all caught up in sin before we met Jesus too.
Everyone.
But the idea that, but if there's an enemy out there with this agenda to destroy the works of the kingdom of God, then anybody could be a soldier or being used by him. And it's hard for us to show to love someone.
Because they're an enemy.
Because they're an enemy. Because they're coming against us versus someone that needs Jesus' love. And I see Jesus going to, whether it's the Samaritan woman who they didn't want to have anything to do with. The disciples were like, I don't want to have anything to do with her, you know, or the woman caught in adultery who everyone wanted to condemn her, and Jesus came and protected her, and you know, all these things that we don't give the. I feel like I don't want to be the one preaching. You're the preacher, but I'm passionate about this because I feel like in so many ways we've obfuscated, we've neglected our role of representing who Jesus was, and we don't do things like Jesus does. So. And so we used a term that I actually wrote into a movie a long time ago. We were discussing this earlier in One Night with the King, and the king says to Esther, give me some incentive to believe in who you truly are.
Yeah.
And I think when we treat those who are lost, who need Jesus as tools and potential pawns of the enemy, then we're missing out on that. But if we could get rid of, if we could heal our world from the idea of putting Satan as a God, then that changes how we relate to everybody.
It does. Because, you know, anyone that's not obeying God, not, you know, they're an outcast, and I get it. You know, you must be born again is the message.
Yeah, it's not condoning sin.
It's not. It's simply saying there's a more aggressive way to approach changing a world from doubt, sin, unbelief, evil intentions, to being hungry for what you have. Show them something better. But if getting saved means we're just fighting a different battle, or we become a bigger target for evil, who wants that?
No.
And the world has its own problems. But if we believe Jesus is the healer, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Not just physically, but literally peace, meaning freedom from contention and warfare. Freedom. Why don't we preach that?
Yeah.
Give them something to want. Give them something to provoke them to want to be like you are.
Absolutely.
But do you know who you are? Are you?
We don't.
No. We're free from sin, so we fight the devil. Well, no, he frees us from sin, Satan, death, hell, and the grave. He freed us. But if you don't believe it, how can you be impacted by it? How can you expect to change a world just because you say, I'm delivered from it, but I still have to battle against it on a daily basis? No, you don't. No, you don't. Your victory, our victory, is our faith in how good God is. God is good. The woman said, I believe you'll, if I touch his garment, I'll be healed. She was healed. The centurion said, speak the word. It happened. We have more power in our faith in God than we realize. We can do more than we could possibly ever imagine if we just believe and stop taking it back. Paul said, don't be two-souled, double-minded, or double-tongued. Say one thing and stick to it.
Amen. Yeah. That will change the world.
That will change the world.
Well, we've solved all the world problems. Thank you for watching. Thank you so much, Pastor. As always, you're such a blessing. Your words bring so much life. Your heart for God just really, really shines through. And I know that I grow every time we speak to each other. And I just encourage everyone to GaryZamora.com and Prophetic Fulfillment Church. Tune in and continue to be blessed by this amazing word as we seek to go into the deeper and deeper into the heart of God.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Always, always a pleasure. Enjoy talking about the word and your hunger and your passion to hear the voice of God and to just grow. It touches me, and I know a lot of people that you speak to, as well as your family and your friends. Mm-hmm. So God bless and thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Until next time, thank you for joining us. Bye.